Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, reading from verse 7 to verse 12. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times would have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. This is the word of God.
Take away all those scales from our eyes, and that today we'll see wonderful things in this passage. And later on, as we come to the Lord's Supper, Father, we pray that it will be with a fresh sense of devotion and love for the one who loved us and who died on the cross for us. And we pray this in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, just for a moment, it's always helpful, I find, to recap as to where we are. Now, you may remember I mentioned to you last Sunday that from verse 3 right through to verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 1, it is in the original Greek language, which the New Testament was written in. It's one long sentence. The Apostle Paul doesn't pause for breath. He doesn't stop to reconsider things. You're finding that Paul is just pouring out his heart in tremendous gratitude and praise for all that the Lord has done for us. So from verse 3 right through to verse 14, he's going to be explaining to you and to me how we became Christians. Now, we saw last Sunday that we needed to divide this section into three specific areas. The first one is what we did last Sunday, verse 3 to verse 6, where we dealt with the past. This morning, from verse 6 to 11, we are going to deal with the present. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to show you the future, which will be verse 12 to verse 14. In the past, it had reference to God the Father. And we noticed all that God the Father had in his grace and in his mercy, all that he has done for us. And the main thing was that God the Father had predestined you. God had called you. God had laid you on his heart even before the creation of the world. What a gracious, loving Father who would do that for us. Now this morning we come to the present. And that passage that Peter read to us will describe what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So last week, the past with regards to the Father and our election. Today, the present, what Jesus has done, and the key word is redemption. All right? So let's go through it together, and I hope it will just wonderfully equip us to partake of Holy Communion in a fresh and a loving way today. Right, number one, the first thing I want you to notice on the outline is how by God's grace we have redemption. You and I have been redeemed. Now that's an old word that we don't use too often today. So let me first of all try and explain the meaning of the word redemption for you. The word used for redemption here has got special reference to the paying of a ransom in order to release a person from bondage, and especially that of slavery. I'm sure that you've heard before that during the New Testament times, the Roman Empire had as many as 6 million slaves. Well, a lot of slaves. So the buying and the selling of slaves was a major business. So if a person now wanted to free a loved one or a friend who was a slave, he would buy that slave for himself and then grant him freedom, testifying to that deliverance with a written certificate. So let's just put that at the back of our minds quickly. Here you and I are in the city of Rome, let's say. We go to the agora, the marketplace, and there were lots of slaves up there. And you and I wanted to set a slave free. What would we do? We'd dig into our pocket and we'd pay some money. That money would buy the slave to us, and in our kindness we would take that slave that we have now bought and set the slave free and give a certificate. Now that is precisely the idea which is now carried into the New Testament. And may I remind you, my friends, we come to the very heart of the gospel, and especially today with Holy Communion. We must remember that every single human being that has been born into this world has come into our world enslaved to sin. That's how you were born. That's how you came into this world. You came as a slave to sin. You and I are under total and complete bondage to a nature that is corrupt, to a nature that is evil, and to a nature that is separated from its creator. So in a sense, I know it's hard for people to grasp and to understand, but once you understand that, friends, you can now see how we are not by nature spiritually free. We are not free people because we are slaves. We are slaves to sin. We are slaves to our old nature. We are slaves to following the way of the devil. Therefore, sin has now become our captor. Sin has now become our owner. And what is the price that must be paid for you and I to be free from the slavery of sin? The price paid was the blood of Jesus. See, it tells me that Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil age. So the meaning of redemption then is to set free at a great price. Is that alright? Does that summarize it? So at lunch today you're saying, what did that man talk about in the church? Let me make it simple. Redemption, the definition is to set free. You say, what must I be set free from? I'm a slave to my sin. I'm a slave to my nature. I'm a slave to the devil himself. So redemption means I'm now set free from that. The price paid was not money, it wasn't silver or gold, the price was the blood of Jesus. That then is the meaning of the word redemption. Is that alright? All clear? If I asked you that, you'd pass it in an exam. Okay. To set free at a great price. That's the meaning. So let's come then just number two. There are just 2 points this morning. What are the main elements of this great redemption for you. And this is where really today, as I take you through these friends, it stirs the heart. It moves us to tremendous gratitude to Jesus. When you come up and kneel at the front this morning and you take the bread and you take that cup, we are coming to the very heart of everything here. Alright? So what are the different elements? I'm going to give you four and then we're over. The first thing that you notice by way of the elements of redemption is the Redeemer. Alright? The Redeemer. Look what our passage says to us. Which He has freely given us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption. So who's the Redeemer? Pardon? Jesus. That's correct. Very simply there. See what it says to us? He is called the Beloved One. That's a lovely phrase describing to us who Jesus is. So Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Let me give you some verses that you may want to look up there that would clarify that for you. In Matthew 3 and verse 17, He is called the Beloved One. And in Colossians 1:13, the same thought, Beloved. Now in that Beloved, we have this glorious redemption. Number two, who is the redeemed? Who does He set free? Who are they? Well, look what it tells us. It says, in Him we have redemption. So the redeemed is us. That's you and that's me. We who are dead in our trespasses and in our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ has now set us free. Just think of that for a minute, friends. We have now been set free from the curse of the sin. We have now been placed into the body of Jesus. We are now blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's your position this morning. You see, very sadly, just as a tangent for a few moments, I think it's a pity that around the world, it's a tragic thing in a sense, that the churches are not focusing on this. But you go to so many churches and you learn how to do this and how to do that and how to do this and how to go there. It's all become a very moralistic thing. But what we are learning here this morning is the heart. The heart of everything is, here I was, a slave to sin, a slave to my old nature, condemned and separated from God. I couldn't do anything to help myself. I couldn't even by myself really choose to get out of it. I'm dead. When Jesus comes and He lays down His blood that you and I might be set free, brought into the family of God, and then blessed with every blessing. So the Redeemer is Jesus. The redeemed is us. Number three, the price. Well, we've touched on that already. The price was His own blood. The shedding of His blood was the substitute for our death. That which we deserved and could not save ourselves from, the beloved Savior, though He did not deserve it, He took upon Himself our sin. He made the payment for what otherwise would have condemned you and I to death and to hell. Now when you read the Old Testament, some of you have been coming to Ogs on a Monday morning. We did Leviticus last week. We saw all those sacrifices, the burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering and so on. The Bible tells me that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. And where they failed, Jesus says, I'll go. And Jesus came, my friends, as the Lamb of God and shed his life and his blood. So, let's summarize. What does redemption mean? Be set free at a great price. The Redeemer is Jesus, the Beloved One. The redeemed is us. The price is his blood. Lastly, the results. Now, what are the results? And again, it's tremendous to go through these together. So when you were redeemed, what happened? There were two. The first wonderful result is that you are forgiven of your sin. Forgiveness. You see, friends, forgiveness. Forgiveness. The primary result of redemption for the believer is forgiveness. Let me illustrate that from the Old Testament. So helpful to always go back to the Old. The greatest and the holiest day for the Jewish people was the Day of the Atonement, Yom Kippur. And you will remember on that day the high priest, he would select two unblemished sacrificial goats. One goat was killed and his blood was sprinkled on the altar as a sacrifice. The high priest would then take the other goat, put his hands on that goat, in a symbolic way laying the sins of his people on that animal, and the goat was then taken deep into the wilderness, so far that it would never be able to find its way back again. And the symbolical meaning is that that's what Jesus did. Jesus comes as the Lamb. He lays down his life as an atonement for our sin. And then he takes our sin so that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So when you become a Christian, your past, your present, and your future sins are forgiven. They are cleansed as you are imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you remember during those dark ages of the church, the Middle Ages, you'll remember all of that. Often they would, somebody would be dying or a king would be dying and they'd say, quickly, he's about to die, give him Holy Communion. So that he cannot live much longer and commit more sin. Terrible misunderstanding of the gospel. What you and I say is, oh, it's a precious thing. When a sinner comes to Jesus like you and I have done, and we trust in what Jesus has given us, and we're going to remember that in just a moment. Jesus says, I forgive you. I forgive you. Wow. Our sins are no longer imputed to us. They are placed onto Christ, who then paid the price and died for our sin and rose again. Now, how can God do this? Well, look what our verse says. It's in accordance with the riches of his grace. So what's the first result? Forgiveness. You know what, friends? There are people today that you work with, that you live next door to, that would do anything in life to know forgiveness. They've done things in their lives, they've said things, and they live with guilt. The most wonderful teaching is to tell a man or a woman, when you turn to Christ, forgiven. What's the second and the last result? Verse 8. Which he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So what's the second result? Wisdom and understanding. Can I try and clarify that just for a moment? See, the lovely thing is that you are redeemed. Your sin is washed away. You are drawn into the family of God. But how do I live as a Christian? How do I know what to do? How can I be a better mom? How can I be a better dad? How can I live for Christ in the office? With all the big decisions that we need to make, where do I get the wisdom from? You see, now this comes into play. And we learn that through redemption, there's not only forgiveness for my sin, but also God in His mercy has lavished on us wisdom. So that we are given the knowledge which can see into the very heart of things, know things as they really are, and understanding is being able to make the right decision. Put very simply, wisdom is saying, so now I know what to do, understanding how to do it. Isn't that lovely? So now I know what to do, wisdom, and how to do it, understanding. And the two are absolutely wonderful. Robinson put it like this. He helped me a lot in his book. He said, this is practical intelligence to apply wisdom to every varying situation in life. And you need that, don't you, friends? You say, wow, what am I going to do with my son? What am I going to do in this situation with my finances? How am I going to deal with that difficult person? You see, for those who are in Jesus, forgiveness, wisdom, and understanding God lavishes upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is ours because of redemption. He has made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Christ. Well, our time's gone there. We're coming to communion now. Let me summarize, and then you're going to come to this precious table this morning. You still with me? What have we learned? You and I are slaves to sin. That's how you are born. You're a slave to your old nature. You're under the curse of the law. And dear friend, you're on your way to hell. That's what you are by nature. But this morning, we are going to give you a piece of bread. It's just bread. But it's going to remind you when we place it in your hand that Jesus, the beloved Son of God, said, I'll go and redeem. I'll go. That's what Jesus did. He took all your sin on Himself on the cross, and He shed His blood as a sacrifice. And now that bread reminds me of that sacrifice. Then I'm going to give you the cup. And that cup reminds you that His blood cleanses you from all your sin. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to know? No more guilt, no more condemnation for us. When you go there into the world and battle with all the pressures of today, God says, I'll give you wisdom. And I'll give you understanding. So that you know what to do and how to do it. All of that, my friend, is possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, these are very, very deep and heart-wrenching things. We're not dealing this morning with small matters, but with the heart of the gospel. That the beloved Son of God, our Savior Jesus, died in our place on the cross. Thank you that we need no longer fear judgment or carry guilt around with us day by day, because we know that you have forgiven us through Jesus' blood. It's been taken away like that goat was taken into the wilderness. So you have taken our sin away and washed us clean. Oh, thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for the wisdom and the understanding that you so graciously grant to us as your children, so that we can know today how to live and what to do. Help us, we pray, in all our speech, in all that we do, to always bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.